What's left in the transfer portal? We take a way too early look at the 2025 schedule, and we dip our toes into 2026 recruiting. It's time for another Barn Takeover.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it. Happy Thursday, and it's time for another Barn Takeover. We let members of the barnauburn.com drive the content of our Thursday show. We put our mailbag up on Wednesdays. They fill it up with questions, and I pick some of the best ones, and then we dive in and have some fun, see where the kind of the pulse of the fan base is, and get the information out there that the folks really want to hear about. You can be a part of it too. You just have to subscribe to thebarnauburn.com. We'll have a little bit more details about that at the end. Before we jump into all the fun, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a 50% deposit bonus. Give them $100. They're going to give you $50 back on top of that free to play with. You can take that risk-free money, bet, win, flip it over to the sports book, and have even more fun. So easy deposits, easy withdrawals. It's mybookie.ag. Without further ado, let's dive into the questions, all submitted from members at thebarnauburn.com, and have some fun. So 5 o'clock, Charlie, could you go over our needs slash wants in order of priority at this time? I have not visited the mega thread in a while. Hey, let me tell you something. He's talking about our portal mega thread on thebarnauburn.com that's up close to 400 pages now, that we constantly update with information. And there's a lot of good conversation in there too. But hey, if you take a couple of days off, you can get lost. So it's hard to get caught back up. There's not much left, Charlie. Not a lot, not much left. You probably got 3 or 4 spots left. And I think you're going to get at least two of those to the defensive line. Interior is definitely the most important. When I talk about interior, I'm talking about, you know, try to get another nose tackle. I don't know that you really have one outside of Dallas Walker. And then you got freshmen that probably are going to play like that position with like Jordan Crawford or something like that. So very interior guys on the inside and edge. I think they want to take an edge in this class, maybe a 1-year guy. An older linebacker, I think, would be ideal. I think it would be ideal to get an older linebacker with a little bit more experience. I think those are the three. Priorities at this point in time, with the heavy emphasis on defensive line. There's like 4 defensive linemen coming in this weekend, or over the next several days. Jeffrey Emba, we talked about yesterday. Chris Murray that we talked about yesterday. I believe there's another edge. There's an edge from Clemson that's coming in. I can't remember his name. I should have looked it up before we started. And then there's a defensive tackle from Texas State, I believe, that's coming in, and he'd be a true nose tackle. So it looks like obviously they're putting the heavy emphasis on the defensive line. That is something that they're really trying to shore up, because got a lot of young talent. You just need a little bit of depth, maybe a little bit of depth with experience. So I think that's easily the most important. So I think that's what you'll look at over the next couple of days. Go to the next one. Overfront shout out. That's a meme. That's a funny meme. Which transfer from last season overperformed most from out of nowhere? So which transfer that came in last year overperformed? Let's see. Obviously, I did not expect nearly 1,000 yards from KLS. So that would be one. I didn't expect anything near the production that he gave. But I think probably the biggest surprise was Dorian Maiosi, because I felt like he ended up being sort of a getting starting snaps and being very productive. towards the end of the season. He was another one that you picked up that you didn't feel like – you felt like you had your 1-2 punch at linebacker and he would just sort of play sparingly. But I think he ended up being maybe arguably the best linebacker on the team. And I think that was something that was completely unexpected. Phillip Bleedy was another one that I didn't really expect a lot from, and he ended up being a huge asset to that defensive line. Was very, very productive, very disruptive at the same time. Those three probably were all big surprises. You had a bunch of guys this go-around that actually contributed quite a bit. So you did have some misses, but you had some guys that ended up being really good players. But those three probably stood out the most to me. Let's see. Mashed Potato Johnson, great name. Do we think there will be an honest-to-God competition for starting positions / playing time on offense? I think this kind of goes along the theme with the idea that maybe the quarterback situation hasn't necessarily been a, I don't want to say a true competition, but like, I don't know what people, when you say true competition, what do you mean? Like, do you mean like everybody's given equal reps and you go out there and there's like this criteria of how you win the job, like you have on like, you know, like a video game? I'm not sure that there's that. I'm not sure there's ever been that, but I think that coaches typically want to win, and they typically want to play the best players. So I think if, you know, through the reps that you get in practice and whatnot, you can win a position, because I think coaches want to win. So if you can do what you got to do in practice to unseat the guy in front of you, or perform the way you're supposed to in practice, and then when you get your opportunity, you do the same thing in a game, I think you can win a position. But as far as going into next year, let's go position by position. Quarterback, you're going to have Jackson Arnold and Ashton Daniels. I think everybody agrees, everybody feels like Jackson Arnold's going to be the guy, but I think there will be ample opportunities given to Ashton Daniels to win the job as well. Same thing with Deuce Knight. Deuce Knight's going to have a huge spring to be able to show what he can do. But I think obviously you probably lean towards Jackson Arnold coming out of that one. Running back, I don't know that there is a 1-2. I don't know that there is going to be a 1-2 there. I think they're going to be 1A and 1B. So I think they'll split carries. So I think I'm not really sure that's a position that's quote unquote up for grabs. Wide receiver, obviously Cam Coleman's locked down. Malcolm Simmons should be locked down. Eric Singleton should be locked down. And then it's, you know, competing over to be in that number 4 and 5. I think that'll definitely be an open competition. Tight end, definitely an open competition. I think even some of the freshmen could possibly get in the mix there. Left tackle, I mean, I assume they're gonna give a lot of people opportunity, but you feel like Xavier Chaplin's going to be the guy there. All the interior positions, I think, are going to be a huge competition. Left guard, center, and right guard, because you have your guys coming back, but you have a lot of young guys that are really talented there as well. So the offensive line in general, and then there's going to be a huge competition for right tackle. Right tackle is going to be a fun one to watch, because you got Xavier Miller now can come back. You just brought in Mason Murphy. And then you got Tyler Johnson, who, you know, has started to really come on his development, got some good experience last year, struggled at times, but still, that was only his second year playing. So another year, who knows what can happen there. He's a very impressive-looking athlete. So right tackle is probably going to be the biggest position battle of the whole summer, whole spring, summer, and fall heading into the season. But good question. Marcus 7, way with a bunch of whys, too early, 2025 Auburn win-loss predictions. I'm sure we'll do a ton of shows between now and then on what your win-loss record should be. You got a very manageable schedule. You got some of your tougher games at home, which is always a plus. And then you got some, obviously, some very winnable games at home. But you had that last year too. So you had a very manageable schedule, in my opinion, last year as well. And you came out 5-7. I'm hoping just pie in the sky, looking at maybe 8-4. Let's just go 8-4. I don't want to go game by game, but just looking at it, if you can come out of Baylor with a win, I think 8-4 is very possible. That Baylor game is going to be, the Baylor game is going to be good. It's not going to be an easy one on the road. So that's kind of what I'm looking at. What do you think? What are you looking at for next year? And a lot of this obviously depends on, you know, how well the whole marriage with Jackson Arnold and the offensive line and whatnot, how all that happens. Now, I feel like there shouldn't be – I hate saying there shouldn't be an excuse, but there shouldn't be any reasons why – let me take that back. There can always be reasons. There could be injuries, things like that. But if everything's – everybody stays healthy, if everything is status quo, you should have a really good opportunity to win at least 8 games with this roster. I think this roster is that much better than last year's. And I think last year's was better. You probably just had some things here or there you could have done better on the coaching side and then on the execution side as well. So hopefully you marry those two things up, a second year with a second year in Hugh Freeze's offensive system, second year for some of these guys, especially the wide receivers, to get on the same page. I'm looking at 8-4. So we'll see what happens. What do you think? Moving on to the next one. We're cooking through these. Brett Moran. This dude loves Omar Mabson. There's nobody that loves Omar Mabson more than Brett Moran. And I understand it because the kid is unreal. He says, what's the latest on Omar Mabson? Any buzz that he signs with Auburn? I think he signs with Auburn. I think Auburn gets him. Now, when visits open back up, visits for high school kids open back up, I think, next week. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes and takes some visits because, man, look, you just reclassified. So you basically skip a whole year of being courted by high school guys and you're going to cram it all into one little fail swoop a couple of weeks. I would not be shocked if he takes a visit somewhere. But I think Auburn wants him as a priority. I think this move probably had a lot of Auburn in it, if that makes sense. And I think they want him, and they're going to push for him, and I think they're going to get him. So, Omar Mabson, I would be very, very shocked at this point in time if he doesn't end up at Auburn. So, I really like this kid. I think his game translates so good to the next level. Can do a little bit of everything. He's a really good receiver. And then he's got the top end speed and he's got the physicality. He's just going to be young. So he's going to have some time to, you know, get in the weight room, mature a little bit, and then he should be ready to go. But I think he'll be an Auburn Tiger. Tad Lightfoot. I'd love to know the story behind that one. So hit me with a story on that one on the barn. When do coaches get to start working with transfer players? And his question was longer, and it was more directed towards Jackson Arnold. Like, can they start meeting with him? Can they do film sessions? Do they have to wait till spring? Can they work with mechanics? Can they work with anything on the field? Great, great question. And it's one that I did a little digging on, talked to some people on staff, and basically there's nothing that's keeping the coaches from being able to meet with the players and have, like, the film sessions that you mentioned, go over the offense, anything meeting wise off the field can already be done. So, and I can assure you when he gets here sometime around January 8th, when a lot of the folks start moving in, and classes get started, which classes start, I think the 13th. So sometime between the 8th and the 13th, he'll be here. I can assure you, if not already, he's already being inundated with playbooks, probably having meeting with assistants and things like that. And as soon as he gets here, he's going to be doing a lot of the same things, getting prepped, trying to get as much knowledge absorbed until, you know, up until spring starts. Now, on the field stuff, can't do it. There can't be any coaching on the field. So, like, they can't go throw in front of coaches. They can't go run plays with coaches. They can't go do things like that. Everything has to be off the field. So tons of meetings. I'm sure they're going to be having tons of meetings and things like that as soon as he gets here. For sure. But as far as on the field stuff, can't do that quite yet. You got to wait until spring opens. NCAA is really strict on hours that kids can practice in a week and how much interaction coach can have on the field with a kid in the span of a week. So that's a big no-no, but they can meet, I guess, immediately and as much as they want to. So I would expect that to be the case as well. This is a fun question. Andrew 88 with an extra W. What transfer out players last year had big years, blowout slash amazing years? And then which ones that transfer out this year early do I predict would have the same type season next year? Okay, so guys on Auburn's roster last year that left that had good seasons. There weren't many, okay? And then guys that are in the portal this year that are going elsewhere that'll look to have a big season next year. So let's start with guys from last year. Had a couple that had pretty good years. Probably the best year statistically was Amari Kelly, the wide receiver from Hewitt-Trussville. He came to Auburn, never really got his, a solid footing. He transferred to Middle Tennessee State, and he had 53 catches for 869 yards and 4 touchdowns. Awesome. Awesome year for him. That's a great spot. I wouldn't leave. Wouldn't go anywhere else. I'd stay there for one more year, put up the same or bigger numbers, and then take my chances with the NFL from there. So huge for him. That's awesome. Again, nearly 1,000 yards receiving, which is spectacular. Amari Kelly to Middle Tennessee State. Malcolm Johnson Jr. had a really good year at Bowling Green. I don't know if you remember, Bowling Green played in a bowl game, and they ran a fake punt, and the punter had an absolute hose, an absolute laser beam, and threw like a 50-yard touchdown pass, and it was to Malcolm Johnson Jr. He had 49 catches for 569 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's pretty solid. That's pretty solid. Remember, too, about Malcolm Johnson Jr. is he reclassified. So he's a little bit younger. He was a little bit younger. So he may just now be getting to the maturity, the physical level that he can really perform on the next level. And he has another year to do it. So good for him. Good for him there. Malcolm Johnson. Well, actually, I think it says he's a senior, but I think he does have one more year left. So we'll see what happens there. A good year for him, though. Donovan Kaufman had a sneaky good year at NC State. He had 74 tackles, which is awesome. 74 tackles, a sack, a forced fumble, 2 fumble recoveries, an interception, and he had a pick six, a touchdown, 4 pass deflections. So great for him, man. NC State, I think he's done, but that's a big year. That's a big year. 74 tackles, that's solid. So those guys had really good years. And then Colton Hood, who probably played the best one at the highest level. Let's go with that. So, like, who had the best jump at the highest level? You could look at Donovan Kaufman. There's an argument there, but, Colorado winning 9 games, I think that's obviously a really good year. He had 24 tackles, 2 interceptions, 2 big interceptions, and then nearly he didn't return one for a touchdown, but he almost – I mean, he had a 60-yard interception return, and then 6 pass deflections. Good for him, and he's young. He's got a ton of time to play. So that was hated to lose him. We could have used him this year. That's one that left that you feel like, dang, we could have really, really used that kid this year. He would have been really good in this defense. And he had a good year. So those are 4 that had pretty good years elsewhere. Now, who do I see going out that's going to have a good year next year? That's tough because several of them have not committed anywhere. So I would say the vast majority of them have not committed anywhere else. So if I had to just take a stab, I don't even know where they're going yet. That has a lot to do with it. But I'm just looking at the guys right now. Let's see here. Keontae Scott will probably go somewhere and have a pretty good year, I would imagine. because he's got gifts. If he has his head on straight, he's locked in, and he plays the right position, I think Keontae Scott could probably have a pretty good year next year. Other than that, man, just looking. I think Hank probably has the best chance, best road to have the best career out of these guys that go elsewhere, because I think he's in a really good spot as far as jumping right in after this season at quarterback. And I think he even has an opportunity to compete this year at quarterback. So Hank probably has the best opportunity to have the best career out of this group. But like I said, well over half of the guys have not committed yet. So it's hard to know. It's really hard to know. But good question. Fun question. All right, got a couple more, and that'll be it for us. Let's see. Daryl Dapprich Fan 05, the best name on the barn. If you had to guess, who's the highest rated recruit we land in 2026? So who do we have a shot at? Right now, I think there's three that I'm looking at. There's Zion Lee, who's the number three overall player in the country. He's committed to Maryland, but if you remember, he's from St. Francis Academy. And we've apparently just decided we're going to get all the children from St. Francis Academy. Now, Maryland's the hometown school, but man, it's just hard to imagine they're really going to be able to compete when some of the bigger schools start calling. And should Auburn have a good year, you're going to need a pass rusher. You're going to lose Kieron Crawford. You're probably going to lose one of these portal guy, one-year guys, if you bring in one of those. So you're going to need somebody. So I would say he would definitely be at a position of need. Zion Lee could be one that Auburn really pushes for. Tyler Atkinson, who is just a freak show linebacker. He's going to be so tough to beat Georgia out for, but he's from Grayson. And you know who else was from Grayson? That's Kenyatta Watson. And this kid's been to Auburn a ton. I've seen him in person at multiple games. He could even challenge to be in the number one overall player. He just played, I think, his state championship game. He just was all over the place just a couple of weeks ago. He's the number nine overall player. Auburn's got a shot at him. And I think if all things were equal and Auburn could put a good product on the field this year, I think if all things were equal, Auburn would have a better than 50-50 shot to land this kid. But all things aren't always equal. So you gotta win. You got to get rid of the suck tax and get in the ball game. And I think you got a shot at Tyler Atkinson. And there's one more top guy that I think Auburn has a shot for, and that's Tank Jones out of St. Paul's in Mobile, Alabama. Five-star, number 12 overall player in the country. He's going to be at the top of the priority, another edge prospect. Another freak athlete, really good basketball player. Not only a really good football player, but also a really good basketball player. I mean, 6'4", 230, position of need, freak show athlete, Tank Jones. Already got a little bit of a connection with another commit from Mobile, Shedarius Tootle. They're big buds. I could see that helping out and playing big time into Auburn's favor. But those are three guys in the 2026 that I think, as far as the highest rated recruits that Auburn has a chance to go for, I would have to say those three are the best chances. And if I had to pick one out of those three that Auburn has the best chance to land, I'd say Tank Jones, Anthony Jones for sure. So still early, still really early. But spring is typically, when spring football and into the summer, I mean, this thing moves fast and we're not far away from that. And that's when these things start popping off. You typically we'll have a huge junior day here for the Tennessee game, the Tennessee basketball game, home game. They're playing, I think it's January 25th or 26th or something like that. I think that's planned to be a massive junior day. So I would expect the who's who to be there. And you're going to really start seeing how things shape out as far as how Auburn's board fills out based off of who shows up for that visit. So be on the lookout for that. It's about to kick off, man. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. You got to win, though. Everything you say as far as like Auburn's got a chance with X player all matters so much so on the record this year, I think, because there's going to be a lot of turmoil should you have some sort of product that you saw this past year. And it'll make closing these guys much, much tougher. Another 2026 recruiting question, D. Moultrie asks a question every single time. Love it. What will AU's biggest position of need be in the 2026 class? I thought about this a ton, and it's honestly kind of a tough question because you feel like quarterback, you're set with Jackson Arnold for 2 years. You feel like Deuce will give us at least 2 years, so you're good there. So quarterback. And I had that whole discussion about high school quarterbacks. Is quarterback that much a position of need? I'm not sure. Running back, you should only lose Damari. You got three. You should have three really good ones. Is running back going to be a huge position of need? Not quite sure. You shouldn't lose really any wide receivers. So is that a huge position of need? Not real sure. To me, offensive tackle, you still got to bring in offensive line, but offensive tackle in general. Last year, you really only brought in one true offensive tackle, and Traverse Dice, the other one you had, flipped to Florida right there at the end. So I think offensive tackle definitely needs to be a position of need that is put an emphasis on. So instead of bringing in a bunch of interior guys, great interior guys that you brought in last year, a lot of potential there. I think you may try to do the same thing. Instead of bringing in, you know, four interior guys, maybe try to bring in three tackles and see what happens. See if you can get them in here and develop them and get them ready to go. Maybe you take a shot at one of these, you know, maybe you take a shot at, you know, I didn't even list him because I just feel like it's going to be such a huge bidding war. It's going to be tough to get him. But maybe you take a shot at Emmanuel Iheanacho, who's the number two player overall, who is a bona fide stud offensive tackle. Maybe you take a shot at somebody like that. I'm not 100% sure, but to me, offensive tackle needs to be the focus for every class moving forward. Let's try to get some high school offensive tackles. Again, I had that whole discussion about we've had a discussion on the barn. Is it worth it to really go toe to toe for like these number one, number two offensive tackles when typically they can't play right away? And then what happens if they leave after 1 year, or do you just bring in development pieces at offensive tackle and then go all out in the portal to fill holes? And then maybe these development guys that you get at a discount, maybe they develop into something huge. That happens all the time. I don't know what the right strategy is, but I do know offensive tackle's got to be a priority every single year. And it's a big priority this year because you're going to lose Xavier Miller. For sure, this time you're going to lose Xavier Chaplin, and you're going to lose, I believe, Mason Murphy. So you're going to lose all those portal tackles. It's got to be a focus moving forward. And there's just not a ton in the hopper from on the high school side developing that you feel comfortable stepping right in and being the guy next year. So you got to change that. Got to change that. That's probably the toughest position to do it with. Guys, that's it for today. Another great show, another great barn takeover, great questions. We hit a number of things. We hit a number of different things. Portal 2026 recruiting, 2025 recruiting, Auburn team stuff. And that's the kind of action that we get at thebarnauburn.com for 2025. You can get an annual membership for $25 off. So at $75, you can get an annual membership, which is, you know, you don't have to worry about the bank draft. You don't have to worry about anything. You just jump in. Boom, you got access to all the information, all the conversations. It's a ton of fun, and it's about to be a really fun time as 2026 recruiting is really kicking up. We're starting to, you know, the information is starting for the portal. We're about finished up with the portal, and we're going to transition right into 2026 recruiting. Then it's going to be spring football. So you definitely want to be on here for that. We're going to have a lot of fun stuff planned for spring. So definitely got to be a part of it. So guys, thanks for listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. We're going to be back every single day. Every single day, it's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay daggum buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.